This fourth chapter of Daniel is one of the longer chapters of the book, but it gives a picture of Nebuchadnezzar. The four pictures given of Nebuchadnezzar, we had one in chapter 2 as the head of gold. Chapter 4, we have a picture here in the image of the tree, or the dream of the tree. Chapter 5, we have him pictured at Belshazzar's feast. And then in chapter 7, this chapter 4 gives what one might call the conversion of Nebuchadnezzar, or his turning from paganism to the Lord God Almighty. The chapter tells how it took place, but at the beginning of the chapter, the first three verses, we have a proclamation issued by Nebuchadnezzar because of his turning to the Lord God Almighty. I want us to look at the proclamation first. This is a proclamation of a man who's turned to the Lord. He gives a proclamation and then he tells how and why. Nebuchadnezzar the king, unto all people, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. Signs and wonders that the high God, I thought it good to show the signs and wonders that the high God had wrought toward me. How great are his signs. How mighty are his wonders. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and his dominion is from generation to generation. Proclamation to the whole world, over which he at the time was emperor. There are some who fail to see any change of heart on the part of Nebuchadnezzar, but I'm not one of those. As we consider the how and the why of his turning, as we come to the end of the chapter, we'll see once again what he has to say in regard to it. Nebuchadnezzar was at rest in his house. That rest could be manifold. Resting from war, resting for the day, the afternoon, maybe at night, just taking life easy, flourishing in my palace. He was one of the great kings or emperors of all time. When he came to the throne of Babylon, the city of Babylon was located on one side of the Euphrates River. But he, ascending the throne, had bridges built across the river. And the city of Babylon extended to the other side. Then he built a wall around the city with a road on top of the wall, wide enough for several chariot horses drive abreast. The ruins of Babylon today reveal that the city of Babylon covered about 200 square miles. The Euphrates River was running right through the heart of the city, lifeline of the city. Nebuchadnezzar had a wife from Media, from the mountain country, and the plains of Babylon were not to her liking. So he built the fabulous, incomparable hanging gardens of Babylon, one of the seven wonders of the world. It has been said that had there been no Nebuchadnezzar, there would have been no Babylon. And he said, I was resting. I was flourishing. I was doing well. I couldn't be happier. Things couldn't be better. And I had a dream. Connected with the dream, my waking moments, there were visions. So he issued a decree that all of the wise men were to be brought in before him that he might tell them the dream, and then get their interpretation. But they couldn't make known the interpretation. And at last, Daniel was brought in before him. His name had been changed from Daniel to Belshazzar, according to the name of the god of Nebuchadnezzar, whose god was named Baal. And so he says in verse 9, O Belshazzar, master of the magicians, because I know that the spirit of the holy gods is in thee, and no secret troubleth thee, tell me the visions of my dreams that I have seen and the interpretation thereof. Then he tells him the dream. While I was lying in bed, sleeping, waking, sleeping and waking, I saw in the middle of the earth a tree, the height of which was very great. The tree grew, and its limbs spread. So large was the tree that animals, beasts of the field, the forest, found shade under its branches. The fowls of the air built their nest in the tree and found lodging in the limbs. There was much fruit, so that there was meat or food for all. Now in my visions from my bed, behold, I saw a watcher and a holy one come down from heaven. The watchers were the angels. Holy one, one that sanctified, one positioned a little higher. And he cried aloud and said, "Hew down the tree, cut off his branches, shake off his leaves, scatter his fruit, let the beast get away from under it, and the fowls from his branches. Nevertheless, leave the stump, the roots in the earth, even with a band of iron and brass in the tender grass of the field. Let it be wet with the dew of heaven. Let his portion be with the beast in the grass of the earth. Let his heart be changed from man's. Let a beast's heart be given unto him, and let seven times pass over him." Now that was his dream. Now Nebuchadnezzar says, "This matter is by the decree of the watchers, the demand by the word of the holy ones, to the intent that the living may know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will, setteth up over it the basest of men." Now this tree is used as a symbol throughout the word of God. The tree symbolizes a man with great power, and also we find that as the man is symbolized, so is his kingdom symbolized. Now we go back to the judges, and we find the nation of Israel symbolized by a tree. In the 9th chapter of Judges, we have a parable given to reveal God's dealings with the nation of Israel. The parable is something like this. The trees of the forest went forth to elect a ruler over them. Trees of the forest, symbolizing nations, to elect a ruler, a nation whose head would be their ruler. And they turned first to the olive tree. We learn from the 11th chapter of Romans that the olive tree symbolizes Israel. So they turned to the olive tree and said, "Be thou the ruler over us." But the olive tree was a fruit-bearing tree. And the thought was, should I leave my fruit-bearing and go to govern the others? He said, not so. The olive tree symbolized Israel in her covenant relation with the Lord God Almighty, God having made an everlasting covenant with the nation of Israel. And the olive tree being evergreen symbolized the everlasting nation. Then the trees of the forest turned to the fig tree and said, "Be thou ruler over us." The fig tree symbolizes Israel as a national power. We read the fig tree being cut down, but not uprooted. We read of a day coming when the fig tree is going to bud again. We know that Israel ceased to be a nation in 70 A.D. And we know that that fig tree symbolizing Israel budded again in 1948. And the Lord said, when you see the fig tree budding, and while the leaf is yet tender, know that He, the Lord, is at the door or at the entrance, even at the door, ready to come in. The fig tree, a fruit-bearing tree, refused to turn from its fruit-bearing to exercise power over the other nations. And then the trees of the forest turned to the grapevine. And we learn from the fifth chapter of Isaiah that the grapevine symbolizes Israel in her spiritual life that she bestows upon another, and the grapevine fruit bearing and refused to be the head of the nations. Then the trees of the forest turned to a non-fruit bearing shrub or tree, the bramble. And the bramble accepted. Well, there we have the olive tree, fig tree, the grapevine, the bramble, symbolizing nations. The bramble symbolizing apostate Israel when she once again exercises authority and dominion before being turned to the Lord. In the parable of the mustard seed, we learn about trees. The Lord said, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a mustard seed, the smallest of all seeds, which being planted, germinates, grows, and becomes the largest of the herbs. Nothing unnatural at all. The kingdom of heavens, from a very ignoble, small beginning, spread, grew, and developed, and became a great power. But overnight, something unnatural took place. The herb became a tree. Overnight, the church turned from its high calling, teaching the word and spreading the gospel, and became a world power, and entered the political arena, forsaking the spiritual arena. Now here, Nebuchadnezzar dreams of this large tree. It grows and grows and grows and reaches into the heavens, branches spreading out everywhere. The birds find lodging in the branches, build their nests there, find protection there. Beasts, animals of the field find protection under the branches in the shade of the tree. Fruit enough on the tree for all. Now Nebuchadnezzar told Daniel, I watched and watched, and after a while I saw the watcher, the Holy One, come down from heaven. He said, cut down the tree. Cut off the branches. Remove the leaves. Scatter the birds, the animals, the beasts. If I put an iron or brass ring around the stump, let it grow, and then they said these words here, 16, let his heart be changed from a man's, and let a beast's heart be given unto him, and let seven times pass over him. Let the dew of heaven be his portion. Let him eat grass with the beast of the field. One reason. Now here's what God's going to do. He's going to change the heart of Nebuchadnezzar to that of a beast. Nebuchadnezzar then will shun the company of human beings, company with the cattle, the horses, the wild asses, the sheep of the field, eat grass with them, live with them for 7 years. Why this judgment upon Nebuchadnezzar? Daniel tells us in a moment the why of that. Now, Nebuchadnezzar has got to learn a lesson. A lesson few politicians or statesmen learn today. And that is, it's a lesson many Christians haven't learned. That God rules in the affairs of men. I think many, many Christians have the attitude of the so-called infidel who was supposed to have prayed the infidel's prayer, which I think went something like this. O Lord, if there be a Lord, and that's the attitude of many today. O God, if there be a God, Scripture talks about the sovereignty of God. Subject used to be preached upon years gone by. That God is sovereign, having created the heavens and the earth, holding them together by his own power, being the goal toward which all things are moving. How inconsistent to imagine that he has nothing to do with the affairs of men. Nothing. As a schoolboy would say, but nothing takes place in the universe without either the direct or permissive will of God allowing it. God's on his throne. He's ruling over all. Notice this 17th verse. This matter is by the decree of the watchers, the demand by the word of the holy ones, to the intent that the living may know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men. Have you ever heard the rest of this verse? Do you believe it? A few people have heard it, but few believe it. God Almighty giveth the rulership kingdoms of the world to whomsoever he will, and setteth up over it the basest of men. Well, he says to Daniel, this dream I, king of Nebuchadnezzar, have seen. Now thou, O Belshazzar, declare the interpretation thereof, for as much as all of the wise men of my kingdom are not able to make known unto me the interpretation. But thou art able, for the spirit of the holy gods is in thee. Some of the old manuscripts have gods in the singular. And some see here an acknowledgement on the part of Nebuchadnezzar of the true and living God. We translate that, for the spirit of the holy God is in thee. But either way, I judge Nebuchadnezzar to have turned to the Lord. Now I want you to notice what Daniel says. Daniel, filled with the Spirit of God, chosen of God, is tactful. One can be tactful, though saved. Then Daniel, whose name was Belshazzar, was astonished for 1 hour. Daniel stood there in the presence of Nebuchadnezzar and his court in a state of shock for 1 hour. And his thoughts troubled him. Finally, the king broke the silence and spoke and said, Belshazzar, let not the dream or the interpretation thereof trouble thee. Belshazzar answered and said, my lord, the dream be to them that hate thee, and the interpretation thereof to thine enemies. O King, would that that dream was for your enemies and those that hate you. The tree that thou sawest, which grew and was strong, whose height reached unto the heavens, sight thereof to all earth, whose leaves were fair and the fruit thereof much, in it was meat for all, under which the beasts of the field dwelt, upon whose branches the fowls of heaven had their habitation. It is thou, O King. Thou art grown and become strong. History attests the growth and the strength of Nebuchadnezzar and Babylon. We'll soon read when we get to the 6th chapter of the fall of Babylon. But at this time, the most powerful nation in the world, thy greatness is grown and reaches unto heaven, thy dominion to the end of the earth. And whereas the king saw a watcher and a holy one coming down from heaven and saying, hew the tree down and destroy it, yet leave the stump of the roots thereof in the earth, even with a band of iron and brass. In the tender grass of the field, let it be wet with the dew of heaven. Let his portion be with the beast of the field, till 7 times pass over him. This is the interpretation, O King, and this is the decree of the Most High, which has come upon my Lord, the King. You are this tree. You've grown strong and powerful. But you haven't recognized the fact that the Most High ruleth in the affairs of men. If you haven't recognized God, it's amazing, isn't it? How the government today is divorced from God. I marvel at what they call separation of church and state, but when men enter offices of high position like the President of the United States and all that, they bring out the Holy Bible, make him put his hand on it and swear by this book. And as soon as he's finished his oath, they throw the book aside and they'll have none of it. Object to prayers. Object to the Word of God. Object to God. Well, let's see what happens to Nebuchadnezzar. They shall drive thee from men. Thy dwelling shall be with the beast of the field. They shall make thee to eat grass as oxen. They shall wet thee with the dew of heaven. And seven times shall pass over thee. Till thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men and giveth it to whomsoever he will. Now they're going to drive you out. Seven times is 7 years. We have in the Revelation mention of times several times. A time, times, and a half a time. We know it's 3.5. A time is 1 year. Times is in the dual, which means two. And then half a time, which is a half. 3.5 years. It's also designated as 42 months, 1,260 days, 3.5 years. That is 3.5 times. And here is 7 times. This 7 times has to do with the tribulation period, the period of 7 years. This shows the fall of Gentile power. This shows the consummation of the times of the Gentiles. This shows that during the tribulation, Gentile nations are going to be as wild beasts, living as wild beasts and acting like wild beasts. Now, Nebuchadnezzar, whereas they commanded to leave the stump of the tree roots, thy kingdom shall be sure unto thee. After that thou shalt have known that the heavens do rule. After 7 years, Nebuchadnezzar, you're going to be restored to your kingdom. After you've acknowledged that God ruleth over all and in all, your kingdom is going to be restored to you. But you're going to go through 7 years as an animal in the field. During the tribulation, Gentile nations are going to be as such, that they'll be turned to the Lord, innumerable hosts, as related in the 7th chapter of the Revelation. And at the end of the millennium, the Gentile nations, called sheep nations, will go into the millennial reign of our Lord, saved, honoring, glorifying the Lord. Now Daniel, tactful as only a man filled with the Spirit of God can be, continues, and he, under the leadership of the Spirit of the Lord, gives a warning and counsel to Nebuchadnezzar. Verse 27. Wherefore, O king, let my counsel be acceptable unto thee. A far cry from some who would say, now, king, let me tell you a few things. Not so with Daniel. Let my counsel be acceptable unto thee. Break off thy sins by righteousness, thine iniquities by showing mercy to the poor, if it may be a lengthening of thy tranquility. O king, if I may but speak, change your way of living. O king, manifest the Spirit of the Lord. How oft are people warned? How oft are people called upon to turn from their wicked ways? All this came upon the king Nebuchadnezzar. Now, Daniel continues to record the fulfillment of the prophecy of God. I want you to look at this. At the end of 12 months, 12 months after Daniel had given him the counsel, Daniel had demonstrated that God Almighty was with him in the dream of the great image and the interpretation of that dream. His companions had demonstrated the power and blessing of the Lord upon them in their experience in the fiery furnace. Once again, Daniel has demonstrated that God Almighty is with him. He's warned him, and God has given him 12 months. Sometimes we forget the fourth law of the harvest. Which is that there's a length of time, a space between the sowing and the harvest. Oftentimes we think because we haven't been called to an accounting that the Lord doesn't know what we're doing. One would wonder if Nebuchadnezzar ever thought of the counsel of Daniel in this 12 months. Perhaps he thought of it and dismissed it, taking it lightly because nothing had happened. But at the end of 12 months, Nebuchadnezzar walked in the palace of the kingdom of Babylon. And then the king spoke, and he said, is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty? Nebuchadnezzar, taking to himself praise, honor, glory for everything that had been done, not knowing that it's the Lord who gives one power to accumulate wealth It's the Lord who gives one power to exercise authority over others. All authority and all power comes from God, delivered to the Lord Jesus Christ, and he to whom the Lord would portion it out. One is reminded of Hezekiah after he'd been told that his days were numbered and to set his house in order. And God added 15 years to his life, and just a little later on, there came men from the east. Hezekiah took them all through the palace, showed them the treasure, showed them the source of their might, bragging about what he had accomplished, forgetting that all that he had come from the Lord. While the word was in the king's mouth, while he was yet talking, and before he finished this sentence in the verse above, there fell a voice from heaven saying, O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken, the kingdom is departed from thee. They shall drive thee from men. Thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. They shall make thee to eat grass as oxen. I've seen pictures which the artist tried to portray some of these things, and it showed Nebuchadnezzar on his hands and knees eating grass, and he's looking up with a mouth full of grass. Now, this actually happened. I'm amazed at the commentators try to explain what happened to Nebuchadnezzar. Certain types of lunacy in which men have imagined they were beasts and so forth. But the scripture says God Almighty changed his heart from that of a man to that of a beast. He wasn't in a state of lunacy. God Almighty brought this upon him. Now I want you to look down here and consider these things, and then just draw your own mental picture. They shall make thee eat grass as oxen, and 7 years shall pass over thee, until thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will. God Almighty puts people in office. He gives it to whomsoever he wants. God has a plan for this old world, and everything is moving on schedule toward that end. Great excitement, country today, concerning the next president of the United States. God's going to put in whoever he wants, even the basest of men. Things are waxing worse and worse and worse. And they have to get so bad that all Christendom will cry out almost in unison, even so come Lord Jesus. This whole thing's got to get so bad that the stench of it reaching the nostrils of God will cause him to say, let's go down and see what's going on and put a stop to it. Now, what's our attitude? He said, when you see all these things coming to pass, straighten up and lift up your head and rejoice, for your redemption draweth nigh. But you know what? The average man, the average Christian, I'd far rather have something here on this earth that man could produce than the coming kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that only God can produce. The same hour was the thing fulfilled upon Nebuchadnezzar. That same hour, while he was talking, this thing happened.